Good morning. It is good to see you guys today. I know that I'm not giving any new information, but I know we call all of our volunteers teams Dream Team, but how many of you know that Grace Point has been blessed to have a dream team of pastoral staff? Are they not amazing? They are incredible. Jack, I have been around a lot of kids pastors, and obviously he handles a lot more roles than just kids ministry and does a lot of different kinds of work here at Grace Point, but man, you guys have the cream of the crop. You have incredible lead pastor, an incredible pastoral team. Got to meet Zach a little bit ago, and I told him, I said, man, I'll always be a youth pastor at heart. You cut me, I bleed teenagers, so I'll always be a youth pastor at heart. And so anyway, I do appreciate just the opportunity to be here with you guys. I appreciate Pastor Wooten and Sister Jody so much for the opportunity for coming here. He is one of my closest friends. We actually met through my parents when they started attending here, and then we just formed a friendship and became each other's accountability partners, and we're in each other's lives, and we can say anything to each other, and it's safe. And how many of you know pastors need that too? Pastors need community too, and sometimes we're giving out, and we need that community, that bond, someone that knows what you're going through. And I just appreciate the opportunity. If I haven't met you yet, I do pastor a church, Eagle Point Church. I swung by the church and helped out a little bit this morning. It's a holiday weekend, and so I was trying to make sure that they had everything together. And I said, I'm not leaving the point. I'm just going from Eagle Point to Grace Point. But I grew up here in South Irving. I graduated from Nimitz High School, and it is just awesome to be here. I am so grateful that I got to be the kid. I got to be the son of Norwin and Linda Norris. I think they're pretty awesome. And I also got to be with you guys back just, I guess, a couple of months ago now at the CR graduation. And I leaned over to Pastor Wooten and I said, this is stinking amazing. I said, this is a bunch of free people and they worship like free people. Amen. And so it is great to be back with you guys. And I hope that you're feeling good today. I realize it's Memorial Day weekend, but I can already tell you, you guys are not acting like it's Memorial Day weekend Sunday. There's a reason why a lot of us pastors, we take that Sunday off. A lot of Sundays I'm away from my church because everybody goes too. But man, you guys, I'm standing there during worship, and I'm like, this doesn't feel like Memorial Day weekend. And that just tells me that God's doing some great things in this church. And so I'm feeling good today. I'm properly caffeinated, probably a little over-caffeinated. I was ready to sprint, and I think that's why I missed that step there or whatever. But anyway, look over to somebody right now and say, are you feeling good? Look over. Now ask them, also ask them, make them feel good. Say, have you lost weight? Come on, just ask them. It doesn't have to be true. It still feels good, right? It does not have to be true for it to feel good. When somebody says that, I hope that you're going to have some time to take off and maybe enjoy, maybe sit by a pool, maybe on the back patio, maybe grilling. I just love to walk out the backyard and smell somebody grilling. I'm like, oh, that just smells like from heaven right there. And I can't decide. You know, I'm thinking that we're going to grill tomorrow. I can't decide whether we're going to grill chicken breast or, you know, chicken thighs. You know, I guess I'll just have to wing it. You know, I don't know. I guess, you know, coming strong with the dad joke on Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, I got one more for you. I'm not done. What did the exasperated man serve at his barbecue? Shish kebab. So, see, I could be here all day long. But anyway, I'm just going to move right along with those. They just get worse. They just get worse with the dad jokes. It doesn't get any better. But I want to ask you a question today as we get going. How many of you are here? How many of you, not just here in the building, not just here physically, not just watching with us online, by the way, welcome to all of our online audience as well, but how many of you are here in the moment. If you're here, say, I'm here. If you're watching online, type it in the chat. I'm here, okay? Now I want you to take a moment to acknowledge, just think about the blessing and the freedom that we have here to worship today because of the sacrifice. This weekend is not just about grilling and swimming pools. It's about honoring those that have fallen and those that have given their lives so that we could have freedom. Amen? But think about the opportunity that we have to stand in the presence of God, in worship, in the presence of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, worshiping the Lamb who was slain, who's taken away our sin. It's a holy moment. So we take this time, and I'm just so glad you're here. But unfortunately, hear me out, some of you won't be here for long. I'm not predicting death or anything on anybody. Let me clarify that. You won't be here for long. You may be here physically. Your mind, your attention will be somewhere else. Because right here, in just the next few moments, you'll get a random text and you're gone. You're still here physically with us. You look like you're here, but you're in your mind. Or you may even initiate the distraction and open up Instagram in the middle of service. It happens. Pastors know it, okay? We all know it, all right? Or some of you are just thinking right now of all the things you have to do today or all the things you have to do tomorrow. You're thinking about bills you have to pay. You're even thinking about lunch already. You're thinking, where are we going to eat? Chinese, tacos, barbecue, what do we want? And our mind works that way. Some of you are distracted and you don't mean to be. I'm glad that you're here, but for some of you, you won't be here for long. And here's the point of what I want to get to today. One of the most striking qualities of Jesus, that he was fully present in every moment. If you go back and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you study the 3.5 years of Jesus' life, he was fully engaged with people. He was fully present in the moment, and he really did not live life with a distracted or a divided heart. Amen? He was present. Honestly, I stink at it sometimes. How many of you will confess, I stink at that sometimes. I get distracted. You know, sometimes my wife has challenged me through the years of being a pastoral ministry and leading a church, that I'll be engaging and talking with somebody, but over their shoulder I see a guest that I wonder if anybody has talked to yet. And so I'm there with them, but my eyes are over there. And she's like, babe, people are going to think you're not listening to them. They're going to think you don't care, and I know you do. And so sometimes, how many of you have a hard time with your mind just shutting off? It's hard to shut it down, right? We're just thinking and thinking. And what I want you to understand is Jesus had practiced living in the moment. If we look in Luke's gospel, there are back-to-back stories that show Jesus and how he was just present. He gave people undivided attention, and he had an undivided heart. As he's walking into Jericho, there's a large crowd surrounding him, and there's a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. And he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And if you look at it, the disciples rebuked him. He said, he doesn't have time. And Jesus rebuked the disciples, and he said, what do you want me to do? And right then and there, he prayed for him, and he was healed. And I've been hearing, I was talking to Pastor Wooten and talking about the miracles that have been taking place here in Grace Point. It's incredible. And so Jesus was just someone that had an undivided heart. And then right after that happened, right after that went on, in Luke 19, 1 and 2, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Okay, so Jesus was on his way somewhere else. He was on his way somewhere else, and he'd already been interrupted by a blind beggar, and now he's being interrupted again. So he stops for this rich and corrupt tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but after doing a deep, deep dive and a deep study into Zacchaeus and doing a deep dive into the Greek, I discovered something about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he who climbed up into a sycamore tree to see what he could see. Ba-dum-boom. You know, in my head, in my heart, Zacchaeus will always look like Danny DeVito. okay? That's just what I think. I hope and pray that the Chosen, if they keep going in the series, that they will recruit Danny DeVito. That will make my life complete if that happens. That's what I picture in my head, Zacchaeus looking. I just can't get it out of my head. And every time I see him on one of those Jersey Mike commercials, I'm like, Zacchaeus, right there. He's right there. And so when we look at his life, though, I mean, here's what you have to understand. In that time, in that era, okay, you think people don't like the IRS here? They hated tax collectors. Because tax collectors were basically sleeping with the enemy. They were people of Jewish descent that were in partnership with the Roman government. The Roman government would say, this is how much we want you to tax the people, and then you can put on whatever you want to on the top. And they would do that, and they would just totally strap the people. So they were looked at as a betrayer. They were looked at as someone that was sleeping with the enemy. They were looked at as someone that was completely had walked away from their Judaism and their Jewish roots, and they were despised. And so when Jesus comes to the tree, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm having lunch with you. Today I'm having lunch with you. And the moment he said that, the people that were there were like, I can't believe he is hanging out with him. And Zacchaeus read the room, right? He read the room and he knew what was going on. He says, look, Lord, anybody that I've cheated, I'm going to pay back four times the amount that I've cheated them. And people were blown away. And in that day, Jesus says, salvation has come to your house. But see, I want to be like that. I want to be present in the moment. I want to be like that, not just living in happy moments, but fully present in all moments, even the annoying ones. How many of you know they're not all Hallmark moments, right? They're not all just like this picture that you see on Facebook or on Instagram of the perfect little family there. And they're just so photogenic that it makes you sick, you know? And so those moments are not always enjoyable. Sometimes when you're a young dad and you're walking in the middle of the night, you're going to step on a stinking Lego. And that is not a good moment for your bare feet. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are moments when you have young kids of absolute and total chaos. And if you're not careful, you're going to live your life just wanting to escape that moment instead of enjoying that season and that moment. We just want to escape it. We just want to get out of it. If we're not careful, we'll end up complaining today about the moments you'll miss tomorrow. I want to say that again. Some of you need that. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. If you're not careful, you'll end up complaining today about the moments you'll miss tomorrow. You know, there's an old country song that said, you're going to miss this. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back if you're not careful. So let me do a checkup here in the middle of the message. Are you still here? You're still here? You're still with me? The statistical odds that I've lost some of you. Listen to this Harvard study. 47% of the time, your mind isn't where your feet are. That's crazy. That means half the time you're walking around life and you're really somewhere else in your head. Now, I know we do a lot of things by rote, by memory, you know. How many of you have you've driven the same route home from work so many times, you're like, how did I even get home? But I'm in the driveway, right? You know what I'm talking about? And so there are some things that are just monotonous that we can just do and not even think about it. But most of the time, we're not where our body is. And our mind isn't always on good things. Sometimes it's on stupid things. It's on cat videos on YouTube, you know, or I like to do the Bushman or whatever that's scaring people now and they walk by. I just want to watch video of people being scared to death. You know, my daughter and I have this thing. She scared me so bad the other day. I was coming from the garage and she was around the corner and I screamed like a girl. And I will just tell you that, man, I screamed so bad and she laughed at me and I just go, I will get you back. Vengeance is mine. And my wife asked me for a bottle of water or something last night right before bed. And I walked through the living room and I could see her in the kitchen. And she didn't spot me. She was making some popcorn. I went around the corner up against the couch. I'm like, I'm a patient man. I'm just going to wait. And I forgot what kind of noise I made. You know, I made some kind of like snorting noise or whatever right when she walked by. and she was no hoppy with her father. She was not happy with her dad at all. And I just said, I told you I'd get you back, you know? And so we watch things, we engage things with our time, and we're not in the moment. How many times do we go to restaurants now and we don't see families connecting and engaging? They're all looking down at their phones. I will see men and women on dates and they're not communicating. They're just looking at their phone while they're eating dinner. Here's some recent data that's absolutely crazy. The average cell phone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. How many know that's just gross, right? Our phones are gross. We touch them way too much. Some of you pride yourself on not being average. You're above average. Okay, so for extreme users, the top 10% touch their phones 5,400 times a day. And this is not just a young person problem. This is not a teenage problem. This is an everybody problem. I'll drive by places of work and factory where people were hanging out underneath the table and they were on a smoke break or they were talking or whatever. Now everybody's just on their phone. People waiting on a bus, they're just on their phone. You know, and sometimes when we don't do well socially, it's easy to just look at our phone instead of looking awkwardly at each other. I get it. But if we're not careful, we just miss moments. So some of you are not wasting time on phones. You're playing mind games. What am I talking about? Mind games like the when and then game. When I get out of high school, everything will be fixed, right? When I get out of college and I get a real job and I no longer have to live on PB&J and ramen noodle, I will be happy. And then we go, no, not that. But when I get a house, all my problems will be over. It'll never break. I'll never have major home repair. I'll never have to file an insurance claim. Life will be easy peasy once I get a house, right? Or some people, they're not happy. They go, oh, if we could only have a baby. If we could only have a baby, then life will be so easy. And we'll still be able to get all the sleep that we got and go out on date nights. And we're just going to be the perfect, you know, family of three or party of four, right? And some of y'all are just laughing at your parents. You're like, yeah, say goodbye to sleep for many years, you know, for many years. And then if we're not careful, we will just miss it. We'll miss it. Then the kids are grown up. And then we look back and we say, oh, man, the good old days of when we had kids in the house. Do you see the pattern? We're always wanting something that we don't have. We're always wishing for a time that's not there. We go through life wishing away the current moment. Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. Let me say that again. Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. If it's not the when and then game, it's the what if game. And many of us, if we struggle with anxiety, we struggle with that one. You know, if I don't pass this test, I'm not going to get into the right school, and I'm not going to get the right job, and I'm going to be at a job that I hate for the rest of my life, and, you know, I'm going to be the scorn of all of humanity, you know, and we just do this downward spiral with this game in our mind. Listen to what Scripture says about this. Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus didn't tell you not to plan for the future. He said, don't worry about the future. He wants you to plan. Let me ask you again. Are you still here? Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Okay? Listen, we don't live. Why don't we live in the moment? Why? Why do you think we don't live in the moment like we should? One of the things that I think is a lack of faith. The only way you can be present in the moment is we have to surrender the past that we can't change and trust God with the future we can't control. If you really think about it, we struggle with that. But we have to surrender the past you can't change and trust God with the future you can't control. Let's look also in James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Listen to this. For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know, one of the roles of a pastor is, you know, I get to celebrate life moments and tie the knot. I get to dedicate babies, and being in a college town and seeing a lot of our college students get married. I remember one fall, I think I did 8 weddings, you know. It was like that old Adam Sandler movie, Wedding Singer. I was like wedding performer, you know. I was doing weddings like all the time. But you're also there for the end of life. And this year I've been helping out a funeral home in town. And it's kind of crazy when I'm doing a funeral for someone 10 years younger than me, 15 years younger than me. And it reminds me that how fragile life really is. So are we going to be in the moment? Are we going to be present? That's my title today is, are we going to live our life in the present? In the present. There was this soap opera that was famous for many, many years that says, as the sands in the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. I know nobody here ever watched a soap opera. No on fire Christian would ever watch a soap opera. But at a young age, I did know the plot line for General Hospital pretty good. I just want you to know that. Anyway, but no, I'm totally joking. But this was the famous image when that soap opera came on, right? Is that it just had an hourglass and it says, so are the days of our lives. These things are tricky because you know how much you have at the top, but you don't know how quick it's going to go through. And you don't know what is actually left. And you can't stop the sand from flowing. You can't. And the stuff that's on the bottom here, you cannot get it back. That's what I want you to get today. I want you to get that in your heart. You've got to leave. That's one of the great things that I've learned and seen a lot of these recovery ministries, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or whether some of the different ministries that are out there, is learning to reconcile the past, right? And go, I can't change it. I can't change the past. I can't go back in time. I tell our church that the past is a room with a locked door in which there is no key. You cannot access it. You cannot. Now, God can redeem it. God can reconcile it, but you can't go back in time. I don't care if you feel like you're the next Michael J. Fox and you can do that. You can't go back to the future. You can't go back in time and make that happen. But we can do something about right now. We can do something about right now. And God wants us to live present in the moment just like Jesus did. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't be happy where you are not. You can't. If you're not there, if you're not engaged in the moment, you can't be happy where you are not. You cannot serve Jesus where you are not. You cannot love people where you are not. But I want to encourage you, be present in the big moments. But many times, it's the small moments that matter the most. It's the small moments that matter the most. And I put it this way, let me say it this way in the notes. Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. This moment matters. But to be fair, it's so easy to get distracted, to get preoccupied with self. It's so easy. But think about Jesus for a little bit. At the end of his life, Jesus could have been consumed with self because he knew, that he was headed to the cross. When you got something in front of you that you know is difficult, how many of you know you just can get filled with anxiety and just dread? You know, some people that's tax day, some people that's, you know, yearly physical. You can be what the doctor's going to say, whatever. But think about that he had the cross in front of him, but he still was present in the moment every time. There he was, naked on the cross, beaten, senseless, barely recognizable. And there was a man dying next to him, one of the thieves. And it's my favorite story. It's my favorite story at the end of Jesus' life. And he says, the thief on the cross, he looks at Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He doesn't ask him for a ton of stuff. He just says, remember me. Would you please remember me? And what did Jesus do? He says, today you will be with me in paradise. I love Max Lucado, Christian author. I got into him when I was first in college, and he's got a book called No Wonder They Call Him the Savior. And in that story, The Tale of the Crucified Crook, he talks about that there is now an ex-con that's kicking up his heels on the streets of gold who knows more about the grace of God than 1,000 theologians. Because he had 20 minutes maybe left to live, and the Lord looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus, at the end of his life, was still fully engaged and in the moment. Jesus was fully present. Let me say it again as we're wrapping up. You can't serve Jesus where you are not. You cannot love people where you are not. You cannot be happy where you are not. Some of you are not, you're not happy because you're not in the moment. You're always looking to what could be or what you want and want what you can't have. You're not going to be a great friend, a great spouse, a great mom or dad. You're not going to be an influence if you're not there. This is the day, today. God saved the best for now. I truly believe in this life that the best is yet to come. That God is moving and working. We now have his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Some of you now are walking in freedom for the first time in your entire life. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. In this moment, right now, God is with us. Your best days are now. I want to wrap up. If we could have somebody maybe come on keyboards or guitar. I want to wrap up with a story where I feel like the Lord really, when I was studying for this message, brought me to this story. At my very first youth group, there was a young man there. It was a small church. It ran 40 on a good Sunday. I'm telling you, when we ran 40 people, we thought, we are winning the world for Jesus. You know, 40 people. I had two kids in the youth group, two girls in the youth group. And we were just starting from, I was in college. I was 20 years old. I was going to Bible college, going into my senior year. And we reached this girl, and then she brought this boy that she was dating. And then that boy was a knucklehead and went out with one of the other girls in the youth group and held hands in the movie. And then that first girl broke up with him and said, you loser, you cheater. And so I didn't see him anymore. But this first girl that was in the youth group, she was so spiritually mature for 16 years old. She went to that couple. They became boyfriend and girlfriend. And she said, listen, what you did was wrong. But I want you to know Jesus more than I want you to be my boyfriend. And I want to invite you back to my youth group, and I want you to come. And they started coming, and God got a hold of that young man's life. And he sat on the steps of the church, and he told me how he had blown it. And I told him that God had a plan for his life. I probably would have forgotten that moment. But years later, I had went to a church that it did not work out. And I pretty much got fired. And I left there and went out to Arizona and felt pretty beat up. Felt in my head, is this ministry thing really for me? Do I need to get out of this altogether and just go into the business world? This is just too hard. I was feeling like a failure. And I got this letter from that young man. And all he did in the letter was said, Pastor Richard, I just want to write to you a letter and just tell you how you impacted my life and all the things that I'll never forget. He said, I'll never forget how you came by randomly just to visit me when I was at my first job at Mr. Jim's Pizza. I'll never forget when we were on our way to a Christian concert and I was putting gas in your car for you, because I'd never done it, and I spilled gasoline all over my pants, and it stunk so bad we couldn't go to the concert. You didn't get mad. And he said, his last thing was, he goes, I'll never forget you sitting on the steps of the church and me telling you how much I had blown it and you telling me that God had a plan for my life. God saved that letter in that moment when I was at my lowest, and I sat there in my car having picked up that letter from our mailbox in our condo there in Arizona, and tears just began to stream down my face. Listen to me. When you really do the real stuff is when you're present in the small moments. Everybody thinks about the big moments, the wedding day, the graduations. Everybody thinks about the big moments, but it's in the little moments is where we can truly make a difference, where God can truly transform us, and we can truly change the world. Bow your heads with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've called us to live in the moment. God, you've called us to be present. You've called us to live, Father, just like your son Jesus, that he was fully present in every moment during his entire ministry, and the world has never been the same since. Teach us, oh God, to push away the distractions, to push away the social media, to push away just binge watching our favorite series or television and neglecting the things that matter most. There's nothing wrong with enjoying shows. There's nothing wrong with connecting with friends over social media. But Lord, they're great in moderation, but not in excess. I pray, God, that you would help us to be present in the moment. In your name, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're here today, and maybe right now, this morning, maybe it's your moment. Maybe you watched, you witnessed these transformations and people going public with their faith in baptism. And in your heart was beating out of your chest. And you were thinking to yourself, I want that to be me. I want God to rewrite my story. Let me tell you something. On this Memorial Day weekend, today can be your day. Today can be your moment. It can be, I tell our team all the time, on any given Sunday, it can be that Sunday for someone that they'll never forget. It will be the moment of life change and transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is clear that if any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Some of you here today, maybe what God is calling you to is for you to step over and cross that line of faith and say, I'm going to trust in Jesus. Listen, I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to embarrass you and call you down front. But if you want me to include you in this closing prayer, and you either need to come to Christ for the first time, or you need to refresh, you need to restart your walk with God, you need to reboot your relationship with Jesus. If that's you, if you fit into one of these categories without any hype, hesitation, or delay, if that's you, just raise your hand right now and say, include me in that closing prayer, Pastor. Thank you, 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 thank you. God bless you. Lots of hands going up. Lots of hands going up. So for some of you here today, this message hits you different. You know you're walking with Jesus, but you've allowed some things to just distract you, to get your eyes off of what matters most. And the call of God on you, what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you, is I need to be more present and fully engaged in the moment and not allow some of these pleasures that are not bad in themselves, but not allow it to dominate my time. Pray for me today. If that's how the message hit you, raise your hand right now. Yes. Yes, we've never been a more distracted culture. Hands going up all over the room. God bless you guys. You can put your hands down. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Church family, as a way of showing encouragement and solidarity, let's pray with them right now. I want you to pray this out loud with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my heart today. I surrender all. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Change me and make me new. And from this day forward, Lord, I will be present. I will be in the moment to not only receive from you, but to make a difference. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, just talk to him right now. Amen. Come on. Let's give God a hand. Let's give God a hand. Let's thank him. Amen. Let me just pray for you right now as we close. Father, I thank you, Lord. This is such a fun church to preach to. Lord God, there's so many amazing people here. People that have been a part of this church for a long time, for a short time. Many people that are here that, Lord, they've known me most of my life. God, I'm grateful for each and every one of them. God, I just pray over this body right now. I pray over this church family. God, I know that the best is yet to come. And I just pray that, Lord, the true test of this message is not whether we say amen or not. It's how we live on Monday. It's how we live on Wednesday. It's how we conduct our day on Friday. Teach us, Lord, to win the day. Teach us, Father, step by step, moment by moment, to be present. Touch your people today. Bless them. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
Can y'all give it up a little bit louder for Pastor Richard? Amen. I'll tell you, that's such a good word. It really is, because I think that's one of the greatest challenges of our culture today is, like, goodness, we're so distracted. And we like to pick on people my age because of cell phones, but it's not just the phones, right? There's so many things in life. So I want to challenge you guys today. I mean, we're all going to go eat lunch, right? Maybe not all together, but we're all going to go grab some food. I want to challenge you guys today at the lunch table. Maybe you're sitting across from your spouse. Maybe you're sitting across from your kids. Maybe you're going to lunch by yourself. I want to challenge you guys and just ask yourself, what are the things that are really distracting me? What are the things that are really keeping me from living out this God potential that I know God's put something inside of me to be an amazing spouse or an amazing parent or maybe just a great employee and accomplishing the things that God wants me to accomplish in my life? I really want you to think about those things. Because it's one thing, like Pastor Richard said, we come to Sunday, it's awesome, we get the word, we love it, but Monday comes, Tuesday comes, Wednesday comes, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so it helps sometimes when we just call those things out, and then all of a sudden when I go to check my phone, I'll stop. So I'll be like, wait a second, that's one of the things on my list that's distracting me. It's keeping me from being the spouse I want to be. It's keeping me from being the dad I want to be. It's keeping me from being the pastor I want to be. It's keeping me from being the person I want to be. You'll start realizing those things in your life. Like, I don't want to get distracted right now. I want to be present in what God is doing. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, I love you guys. I know most of us get to enjoy not going to work tomorrow for Memorial Day, so thank you. I want to challenge you guys. Shake somebody's hand. Make some friends today, okay? Can we do that? All right. Love God, love people, and have a great day. We love you, church.